All right, guys, so we're in lesson 15. We've got two more lessons. We're finishing up 2 Peter today. The next two lessons will be going through the letter of Jude, okay? So today we're going to look at the issue of the Lord's return. Now, let's follow the thought for a moment that we've been doing through 2 Peter. So remember, chapter 1, he talked about spiritual maturity, that God has given you everything you need, and the need to continually remind you of those truths. He's also talked about that you have the testimony of Scripture and the testimony of who Jesus Christ is. Then remember in chapter 2, he warned us about false teachers. So we had some really good discussion over the last 2 weeks about the issue of false teachers. Now he's getting into chapter 3, and he's going to talk about the hope that we have of the Lord's return. That's the final thing he wants to talk about. Now, how important do you think it is for you and I in our Christian lives to have a hope that Jesus Christ will come back? How important do you think that is? It's a pretty simplistic question. Okay. All right, so why? Why is it very important? Gives you hope, okay. Anybody want to add to what Bruce is saying? All right, Tim.
Okay, yes, I can add, but is it hope or is it faith?
Well, you have to have faith that it's going to happen, yes. But it's a hope, a faith that you have and the hope you have. Do you understand? Okay, so why is that important? Or Lisa? Okay, so you're saying, okay, so let me just kind of restate what you're saying. You're saying it's like the most important thing because it's the basis for everything we believe.
That's what I would say.
Okay, would everybody agree with what Lisa's saying? So it's the basis. So we really need to have an understanding, okay? Now, but somebody will come along and say to you, okay, that's great, but hey, you know, it's been over 2,000 years. Ever had somebody tell you that? Yeah, okay. So, but then this is where Peter comes along now. When he talks about the Lord's return here in this passage, his focus isn't on the details of the return. Okay? Some passages will talk about the details. His focus is on you holding on to your faith as you wait. So he's going to address some things with regards to you waiting and having faith, okay? So that's what we're going to talk about today. So I want you to notice with me, we're going to go through this entire chapter today. So I want you to notice with me verses 1 to 9, he's going to give a call to remembrance. This is now the second letter that I'm writing to you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior through the apostles, knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. They will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning. For they deliberately overlooked the fact that the heavens existed long ago and the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept unto the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards us, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. All right, so let's take a look at this. First of all, I want you to notice he's going to talk about the purpose of the letter in verses 1 to 2. So Paul is writing them to stimulate their pure minds with reminders. With reminders. Now again, he's been talking about reminders in chapter 1. He's been continually, Paul does the same thing. Peter here is the one, I said Paul earlier. Peter is the one who's been stirring up the whole issue of being reminded. Paul talks about remind. Why do we need to keep being reminded? Especially when we're talking about this issue, the second coming. Why do we need to continually be reminded? What is it about us that we need to be continually reminded? Okay.
Really look to things above, to the things of the Lord that are distracted by what's going on today.
Okay, so you're saying it's because you, and you're thinking of people in general, we get distracted by just the everyday stuff.
Yeah.
And so we just forget.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody want to add something different to what Lisa's saying? Okay, so Tim, you're connecting it to the warning before about false teachers, because false teachers will say things that can cause you to not just be distracted, but be confused. So for instance, there are false teachings that are out there, have been through the centuries, that will tell you that Jesus Christ already came back. What do you mean he came back? He came back spiritually, not physically, but spiritually. And so people are confused by that. Okay, even in our area here, there are people, different folks from different influences in their life who believe that Jesus has already come back. Okay, and so when you have that kind of thing, what does that do? If you have somebody who tells you, well, Jesus has already come back, what does that strip you of? Hope. It strips you of the hope. Okay, because like if you're like if you hear that, my reaction is, really? He's already come back? Well, hold on, let me get my point in, and then I'll get your question, Danny. He's already come back? You mean it doesn't get any better than this? It seems like it's getting worse if he's already come back. Do you understand? Because supposedly when he comes back, it's all going to be right, right? So when people tell you he's already come back spiritually, it's like, well, man, did I miss something? Do you know what I'm saying? What was your question now, Danny? Yes.
So, if we die before he comes back, won't we see him before he comes back?
Okay, that's where we come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where those who died before us were all raised up together. So, I mean, you're not going to miss out, okay? All right, so those who've gone on before, you had to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord, but you and I were already here. Well, it seems like they're already seeing him, we're not. Well, I'm going to remind you, when we get to the passage here in a moment where it talks about time, I'll help you to understand, okay? So just hold on. All right, so let's go on here. He wants to remind them of the Old and New Testament scriptures. So he wants to remind them of what the prophets have said and even the New Testament scriptures. And so, for instance, if you go to the New Testament, does Jesus talk about his coming? Yes. Yeah, he sure does. You go to the epistles. Paul talk about his coming. Peter talk about his coming. Pretty much they all talk about his coming, right? You go to the New Testament. There's one whole book that's devoted to his coming. Anybody know what that book is? Yeah, Revelation. You go to the prophets, both minor and major prophets. They all talk about what? His coming. The Messiah coming. Okay, so do you think, if they're all talking about his coming, that it's important? Yeah, do you know what I'm saying? In fact, here's what I've been doing the prophecy series where we get to release a lesson every week. So I was just finishing up the recordings for Zechariah, even though we just started online. And I was amazed That there are consistent things that are taught throughout the scripture. What are they? Number one, Israel. It has to do with Israel. They're almost going to be wiped out. Almost going to be wiped out. In fact, Zechariah says 2/3 of them will die in the end before Jesus comes back. And then they recognize who he is. Okay? They're almost wiped out. Here's the other thing. There is an Antichrist. They all mention him. They call him different things. Prince, the foolish shepherd, different things. There is an Antichrist. Third thing, the Messiah comes back with his holy ones. He comes back, establishes his kingdom. All the nations will worship him. Things will be completely different. Those things are consistent. Does that sound like our hope? Oh, by the way, yes, there is a tribulation. Even Jesus talks about a tribulation. Really? Matthew chapter 24. He talks about what it's like before, talks about a little bit about what it's like during, and then he talks about right after the tribulation is the second coming. So yes, those are all things there. And so Peter here wants to remind them. Okay? We need to be reminded. Okay? Reminded. Now, here's the reality. The reality is, though, we've got scoffers among us. We got people who challenge it. We've got people who scoff at the idea that Jesus is going to come back bodily. So what does he say here? Verse 3, in the last days, scoffers will arrive that are driven by their lusts. Now, don't equate lusts here with just sexual. They're driven by, because can you lust for money? Yeah, and power. Yeah, they're driven by their own strong desires for themselves. Do you understand what I'm saying? And they're all about deceiving people. Okay? So for instance, you say, why would they do that? Okay, think about it. You said power, Denny. All right. If you're into power, you're into wanting controlling people. If people have a hope of something coming, of Jesus coming back, if you can diminish that, they've got to turn their hope somewhere else, right? Where do they got to turn it? Well, not to me, but I mean, to the whoever the guy is, right?
That makes the promises.
Yes, because now look at me. I'm take away, because here's the thing, you can listen to me. But the moment I mess up, you can walk out of here, you're still going to have your hope that what? Jesus is coming back. That's where you're looking. You're not looking to me. But when you talk about scoffers, they want to belittle who? Jesus. And the reality of his coming, so that you look to who? Them. Do you understand? Because they're in it for themselves. That's the whole issue here about they're motivated by their lust. They're in it for themselves. Okay, so let's go on. So in the last days, these scoffers will arise. They will point out that the promise of his coming has not been fulfilled. And they're right. Yeah, they're right, right? Well, here we are. We're in 2025. Has Jesus come back? No, no. So are they wrong? No. No, I would say it's a half-truth, though. Did you understand what I'm saying? It's a half-truth. They're only telling you enough, but they're using it to twist it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, for some reason. So Peter is going to talk about this to help us to understand, because you and I might think, Lord, why aren't you coming back yet? Why aren't you coming back yet? Have you ever said that? When you look at the news and you're like, oh my goodness, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? Around the world. Well, Lord, when are you coming back? You know? And why haven't you come back yet? Well, he's going to explain it here. Okay? He's going to explain it. Here's what I want you to see. They have forgotten that God's word created and brought judgment. So what's going on here is they forget the one who's in control. Because who's in control? Now, didn't Jesus even say that? No one knows the time or the hour. Except who? The Father, right? Okay. So what they've forgotten is it's God who what? Created by his word. In the beginning was the creation. The deluge that he talks about here, anybody know what he's referring to there, the deluge? It's really, the reference is to water. What happened in the world got destroyed by flood, yes. The flood. And then God started all over with seven people. So he's trying to help everybody to understand here. So they have forgotten. Now here it is, the issue of God's timing, okay? Here's what it is. First of all, the heavens and the earth, as we know it, are reserved for judgment. So as you and I understand it, everything you see here is reserved for judgment. Actually, what actually ends up happening with everything eventually? Well, not, it's wiped out. The earth isn't thrown into the lake of fire, but everything you see is going to be gone. For the old heaven and the old earth have passed away, right? Okay, so now, God's timing is not our timing. Now, Denny, this goes back to your question, okay? Does God exist in time? All right, some of you say no. Why? Why does he not exist in time? Has no beginning and no end. Okay, that's good, Bruce. Anybody want to add to what Bruce says? First of all, who created time? God created time. Okay? He's the one who created time. So the one who created time exists outside of time. So when you talk about, okay, let's say, I've got a good friend here. You and I, we have a good friend. We'll call him Oscar. Okay? We have Oscar sitting here. I was trying to pick a name of somebody you don't know. Okay? So Oscar. All right? So let's say Oscar, he dies before you and I, Denny. And then let's say we go on 3 or 4 years and the rapture comes. Well, he died in the Lord, and he's present with the Lord, right? But yet, it's like, why didn't that happen for us? Well, in God's thinking, when I read it, when we see Oscar's going to be like, hey, you're here. And he's not going to think that there was 3 years. Now, you and I, we think there were 3 years or 10 years. Why? Because we exist in what? When we go to be with the Lord, will we exist in time? No. It seems like that. That's what's described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 with the rapture. Because, okay, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want you to listen to what Paul says. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, this was the very issue that we're talking about that the Thessalonians were grieving about. They were afraid that somehow that the folks who died before them were going to miss out on the Lord's coming, okay? Because somebody had told them, well, those who've already dead, there's no hope for them. So listen, when you listen to what's going on here, but here's what he says, verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep. That means those who've died, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, from the Lord, that we who are alive, okay, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command and a voice of an archangel and the sound of a trumpet, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them. So we're all resurrected together. That's the rapture. Did you understand what I'm saying? Now you say, the resurrection is the rapture. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. When he describes the resurrection there, it is the same description that he gives here with rapture. Folks, when we get raptured, you get a new body. Do you understand? You're going to get a new body. Those who are asleep, Those who are present with the Lord, they get a new body. This is the point. So God in his timing. But remember, God exists outside of what? Time. Now, when does time end? Anybody know when time ends? For us? When does time end? Anybody got an idea? Not when we die. When the new heaven and the new earth are created, but what happens right before the new heaven and the new earth? Well, not the rapture. Well, that's the judgment, but right before the judgment, there is a 1,000-year what? Millennial reign of Jesus, where we'll be reigning with him. And when that reign is over, the battle of Gog and Magog, and the unbelieving humanity is burned up because they're rebelling against Jesus, we go to the great white throne judgment. Those whose names are not found written in the book of life, where do they go? Lake of fire. Those whose names are written, they enter into the new heaven and the new earth. And folks, we will live forever without time. That's why when it says in Revelation, there's no sun and no moon. In Genesis, the distinction of the sun and the moon was to distinguish the days, right? The morning and the evening were, or the evening and the morning were a day. There's no more days. We're going to live forever with him. Okay? But so that helps you to understand with God's timing. So with God, who exists outside of time, Peter says, a day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like a what? A day. Okay? Because it's insignificant to him. Okay? That's his point. So we might think that he's delaying, or but God has a purpose in all things. Okay? And here's what his purpose is. He's going to say in verse 9, God is not delaying the fulfillment of his promise. So everything's going according to schedule. I need you to realize that. Everything is going according to schedule, his schedule. Why? God's patience allows the lost to find salvation. All right. So we have a conflict here. What do you mean a conflict? All right, how many of you have loved ones who need to know Jesus? Right? We all do, right? How many of us want Jesus Christ to come back? Well, if he comes back, what about those loved ones who don't know Jesus? Do you understand what I'm saying? So his delay, what we would call a delay, is actually his patience. Because he's willing that none should what? Perish. Do you understand? And as long as he's not coming back yet, that gives every one of the people that we love and work with the opportunity to come to know Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? Danny, you look like you got a question.
Jesus is back, and we all rise up. He does his millennium.
Millennial kingdom, yes.
Will we have our new bodies then?
Yeah, we'll have our new bodies, yes. We will live among them. Yes. In fact, Zechariah talks about, okay.
So will our new bodies, there won't be death?
No, we won't die, no.
But the ones that didn't believe will still keep dying?
Yes, the prophets talk about that there are those who don't believe they will die. Yeah.
In 1,000 years, you think the people are dying, and the ones that believe in Jesus ain't, you think they come around?
Yeah, but they won't.
They don't want to believe.
Yeah. In fact, they don't want to believe, even though Satan will be bound, who is the deceiver, he will be bound, they'll live, they'll have King Jesus in their midst. Because we'll say things like, if only they could see the power of God, then they'll change.
So will there still be people born?
Yes, there will be people born in the millennium.
People that have the new bodies, or
I don't think they're going to be born to us, they're going to be born to the people who were alive after his return, yes. Zechariah talks about that there will be people left who will come up and worship Jesus in Jerusalem. And those who refuse will be punished. What do you mean? It gives a story in Zechariah that Egypt will refuse to come up. Well, God withholds rain. He withholds rain from them.
I just can't see how they would believe. If people believe Jesus ain't dying, and they're still having kids.
Yeah, but Denny?
He walked on the earth, and there's people
Yes, that's exactly right. And raise people from... The craziest scripture for me, Lisa, is you go to John chapter 11. He resurrects after 3 days Lazarus from the grave. You read a little bit further and it says that they sought to kill him and Lazarus. Okay, now how often does that happen, what just happened? And then it says they're out to kill him. Because the issue isn't that they don't have enough information. Oh, he did die again. Yeah, he was physically raised up, not a spiritual resurrection, okay? Now, here's what I want you to see. The issue isn't not having enough information. The issue is a heart issue. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because sometimes we'll say, well, I wish I knew all the answers so I can... No, it's a heart issue. People refuse to listen. People refuse to believe. Do you understand? Okay, Lisa.
How many times have we said that in the past, like, 5 years? Oh my gosh, can't you see? Like,
yes.
No matter which way you're looking at
it. Yes.
You're looking at it because it's so divided. Just information that we get. You look at something and go, why can't you see that?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yes,
so,
yeah. Okay, here's the scoop. All right, yes, they will. All right, so when Jesus Christ comes back, he sets up his kingdom. But let's say, because all the nations of the world, and God says he'll destroy his enemy, those are the armies he destroys. But let's say back here in Clearfield County, you've got people who survived all the stuff of the tribulation. Okay, they made it through. But maybe they don't believe. Well, they're no longer deceived. The world has changed now. Jesus is in charge. The world is perfect. They can still have children because you have to have children. Because when you get to the end of them, there's like so many people that it's more than the sand on the sea, and they get wiped out. They don't believe. So simply because you're there, and maybe they will even see Jesus because they have to go up to Jerusalem to worship him, they don't believe. Yes. Now, the people who are born who believe, yeah, I believe there will be people who will come to faith in Jesus during the millennium.
So there's going to be a lot.
There's going to be a whole lot of people who don't believe.
No, but what I'm saying is the ones that don't believe, they won't see the difference in the ones that disappear.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing, Denny. If you don't want to believe with your heart, it doesn't really matter. The issue isn't information.
Right.
It's that you don't want to believe. Okay? Lori. Yes. Yeah, they'll come up with some reason, yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, will there be death in the millennium? Yes. One of the prophets talks about that people will live to 100 and die.
But not the ones that came back with
Christ. Not the ones who believe, no. No, there's no more death for us. But there will be death in the millennium with people who don't believe. And even with that.
Well, would it be sad to see him die?
Well, I don't think we're going to change. Okay? Our hearts are still going to break for people who don't know the Lord. Do you understand? But the problem is, that's in time. When the millennium ends, they have that one futile, Satan is released from his bonds. He deceives the nations. They all, think about how crazy this is. They all rise up against Jesus. And it's not even a fight. Fire comes down from heaven. And they're wiped out. And then the very next thing that happens, according to the scripture, is the great white throne judgment. See, I look at it and I think what we have is tests throughout the scripture. And God gives one test after another to humanity. And then the final test is, as you have Jesus among yourself, he's ruling, and people will still reject. Do you understand what I'm saying? They will still reject. And so therefore they face the judgment on. All right, let's continue on here. So his patience right now is to allow the lost to be saved. So this is why it's important for us, to you and I, to understand the hope. I think when we diminish teaching the second Christ, it diminishes our desire to see people get saved. Because if you know what's coming, not just you're going to be with Jesus, but you know what they're facing, then you will feel a burden for them to come to know Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? You will pray for them. You will look for the opportunities to share with them. All right, so now let's go on. So he's going to talk about verses 10 through 13, the day of the Lord. Look with me at verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that were done in it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought we to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. All right, so let's talk. So first of all, the coming of the Lord will be suddenly. Suddenly. And spectacularly. So for instance, in Zechariah, he talks about, Jesus will talk about it in Matthew, that his coming will be like the lightning striking in the east and illuminating all the way to the west. It's going to be that spectacular. It's not going to be like somebody who says, oh, for instance, I have something that was in the paper back in 1987 in the USA Today, full page ad downstairs in my desk, and it says he's waiting to be revealed. He's waiting for the right time. Jesus warned about that. Don't be listening to somebody who said he's in the inner room waiting to be revealed. When he comes, people are going to know he comes, because the scripture says the world will mourn when they see him coming. Now, if we see him coming, are we mourning? No, we're going to be happy, right? But the world who doesn't want to know him is going to mourn. All right, so here we go. The world as we know it will all cease to exist. It will cease to exist. The world as we know it. It'll cease to exist. Now, I personally, because I didn't grow up here, I grew up in the South, and I think back, I just recently went back with Lori to visit my mom, and man, I'm driving through Columbia, and I'm looking around, and I'm looking at scrub oaks, and sand, and flat, and clay, and I'm looking at all these pine trees, and I'm thinking, man, how ugly this looks around here. This just looks plain ugly. And I thought it was beautiful back then, but man, it is ugly. I couldn't wait to get back up here because I thought, man, it is really beautiful around here. Do you know what I'm saying? But guess what? The beautiful around here is going to get burned up. It's going to cease. Danny?
When he comes, everything's going to cease to exist. But doesn't he come for 1,000 years
before he comes? Yes. Now, remember now, with Scripture, some statements are not specific, but general. So when it talks about his coming here, it's talking about the totality of his return, not just each individual event. So when he comes, everything will be dissolved, because when will we see the new heaven and the new earth? That's at the end, after the great white throne judgment. Do you understand?
When he comes, the earth is destroyed.
Nope. Okay, that's a general statement, okay? All right, so Danny, let me use a human illustration. Let's say Brad is saying to us, Danny and George, I'm coming. And when I come, I'm going to settle stuff. And when I come, it's done. It's over. Because he's mad at you and I, okay? So, all right. So we know that when he comes, he's going to settle things. But when he comes, he also says, well, first, I'm going to go to Walmart. And then I want us to have lunch at buffet at Pizza Hut. Do you know what I'm saying? And then we're going to do this. And then after that, you and I, we're going to settle things. Do you understand? So sometimes the scripture gives a general overview statement. This is an overview statement.
So he'll come, but that it won't be destroyed.
Not immediately, no.
It'll be 1,000 years
before he destroys. Well, before he destroys, he'll renew everything, okay? But then he'll, everything will be wiped out because the old heaven and the old earth will pass away. Everything will be made new. Because let's be honest, the old heaven, the old earth, not the old heaven, but the old earth, it's tainted by what? Yeah, sin. And not just that, it's tainted by the memories of sin. Do you understand what I'm saying? So when you go to Revelation chapter 20, it talks about that he wipes away every tear. What is he wiping away? The memories. When he comes like a thief in the night, that's talking about, do you know when a thief comes? I mean, I know, but if I drove on your property, you know I'd be there because you got cameras, okay? Yeah, do you understand what I'm saying? You and I have had experiences. Yeah, when
you... with his cameras, he's not expecting you to come.
Yeah.
It's still a surprise.
Oh, yes. I just got robbed. Yeah. A thief comes in the night, just as you're not expecting it, but we're called to expect it, okay? So, all right, let's go on. Because our world is headed to the end, we must be mindful of how we live. Do you understand what he's saying here? You and I need to be mindful right now about how we live. We say, well, man, it's been a while. No, I understand that, but you don't know when he's coming. And how would you like to all of a sudden know he's coming and then you got to explain yourself? Do you understand? So be mindful of how you live. What were you going to say, Lisa?
You also don't know when it's going to end for you, but your chances are going to be up.
Yes.
You're gone.
Yes, that's exactly right.
I'm done. I can't.
Yes, that's exactly right. You get in a car and have an accident. Do you know what I'm saying? So, yes. All right, let's go on here. So, we must be watchful for the coming of the Lord. You need to be watchful. Okay? You need to be watchful. You need to pay attention. That's why I think it's very important for us to understand what the scripture says. Because, listen, folks, especially during COVID, I had all kinds of people saying, we're in the tribulation. You ever had anybody tell you that? We're in the tribulation. Really? What do you base that on? Well, look at all that's happening here. Okay, wait a minute, hold on. First of all, does anybody know when the tribulation begins? Daniel chapter 9, verse 27 says very clearly that that final week, that 70th week, begins when there is a prince who establishes a covenant, a peace treaty, with the people of Israel. Now, first of all, we know that that hasn't taken place yet, has it? No. But the prince will come and establish this peace treaty that gives them, quote, peace. The other thing is, Jesus made it very clear, wars, rumors of war, pestilence, all of these things, they are but the birth pangs. They are the beginning of sorrow. They're not the sorrows yet. Now, anybody know what a birth pang is? How about a contraction? Okay? They're a contraction. Do you know what a... Ladies, you know what a contraction is, right? Okay? Do you know what I'm saying? So this is the point. We're not in it. What I found was people don't know their Bibles. They don't know what it teaches. Why? Because they don't allow themselves to be taught to know what their hope is. Because if you know your hope, you can look at all of this and you may shake your head at it, but your hope is still in who? Jesus. And also the trust that you know that he will be there for you. Do you understand? Okay, let's go on. Actually, let me see here. We'll do, here, this one final point, and then we'll finish it up next week. Here it is. In hope, we look to the coming of the new heavens and the new earth. That's our hope. That's our hope. So, okay. You tired of sickness?
Yes.
You tired of death?
Yeah.
You tired of somebody doing you wrong? Yeah, yeah. You're tired of reading about this country doing this and reading, and you're tired of all of this evil that's happening and so forth. Are you tired of it all? Yeah. You know when it will be all over? When the new heavens and the new earth comes and we're a part of it. That's our hope. That's where we put our hope. Not here, because I'm going to be honest with you. There hasn't been a time in human existence since the fall that the things I just said that you were tired of hasn't existed. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's going to continue until he comes back. That's our hope. All right, so we're going to finish up. I thought we'd finish it up today, but we've had good discussion. We'll finish it up next week, and we'll move forward from there.